Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this sermon is the gospel for today, Jesus' visit with his disciples and especially with Thomas. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you're alive and that you're among us, even as you were among your disciples on resurrection night. Lord, by your Spirit, give us assurance of your life and ours. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, back in the 90s, I saw a film titled A Little Princess. It was based on a very popular children's book that was already written in the early 1900s. A Little Princess was the title. And I don't want to give too much of the movie away because you might actually try to look at it after this. But in the movie, little Sarah is the daughter of an army captain. She's already lost her mother, and World War I breaks out, and now her dad is deployed as a soldier, and she's left without mom or dad with her. So dad puts her up in a boarding school in New York City and gives her a rather lavish life, really puts out a lot of money so that she's well taken care of as a little princess. It's interesting, the name Sarah means princess. So she has a wonderful life there until the news comes that her dad has been killed in action. And then everything turns. The headmistress of the school, who was once one of her best advocates and friends, now turns against her, and she becomes a servant, suffers all kinds of cruelty and so forth. But through it all, she's kind and a wonderful little girl, only to find out down the plot line that it was a mistake. Her father was not killed in action, and they're reunited. And I remember, I'm Hungarian, so I cry real easy. And I remember watching those two reunited, the father, soldier, and his daughter, Sarah, and dropping tears at their reunion. But I do the same thing every time on the news they show a mom or dad soldier coming back and watch their little one run into their arms and put their arms around him, and I'm just a basket case at that point. But it's a beautiful thing, coming back, especially when there's been a battle. Well, the good news of Easter is still going on, and the good news today is Jesus came back. In fact, Jesus is the ultimate comeback kid. Nobody's ever done what Jesus did in coming back from the dead. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about Lazarus and people like that that Jesus himself raised? Yeah, but Lazarus had to die again, not Jesus. He was raised, and then he'll never die again. He's raised imperishable parts in 1 Corinthians 15. And because Jesus died on the cross for you, took your punishment on himself, and then rested in his tomb, and then was raised triumphantly, given the breath of the Spirit, and enlivened again, his Father raised him from the dead. Because of that, you can be confident that you'll live forever too, as you place your trust in Jesus Christ. That's the good news of Easter, and it doesn't get old even on Low Sunday, even on the week after Easter. It's great and good news. But the way the Gospels tell about Jesus coming back, it's more than that. It's more than coming back from the dead. That's quite enough, actually. But he doesn't just come back from the dead. He comes back from the dead for those he loves. And that's what this gospel story is about. It sets the resurrection into the midst of relationships. That Jesus doesn't just come back, he comes back for those he loves. And so he comes back to his frightened and bewildered disciples, hiding away behind locked doors. And the first thing he does is he says, peace. Peace for their troubled minds and hearts. Then he shows them his hands and his side. As we just said with the kids, scars tell a story. I remember in the movie Jaws, remember Jaws? In that film where they're chasing the great white shark, and the three guys searching for the shark are aboard their boat, and they've got a lull in their search, and they begin sharing their scar stories. And one guy shows his scar, and yeah, I got that in the war. The second guy shows his scar, and yeah, I got that in a shark attack. And then Richard Dreyfuss, that character, rips open his shirt and points to his chest. And the guy says, "Where'd you get that scar? What scar is that?" And he says, "You can't see it. It's on my heart. Becky Sue, seventh grade. She broke my heart." Scars all tell a story. And the scars of Jesus Christ tell the story of his redeeming work on the cross. But more than that even, the wounds of Jesus on his hands and in his side tell us that that body that stood before those disciples was the same body that was hung on a cross. Boy, that must have been something for those disciples. Can you imagine what that must have been like to see this? And by the way, for you, that means when Jesus comes again and you're raised from the dead, you're going to get that very same body back that you're sitting with right now. I don't know if that's good news for you or not. But you don't get another body. You get the body you live in right now, but it'll be glorified. It'll be everything it was always meant to be. You'll be a 10. And that's great news for you. And it was great news for Jesus' disciples. You know, I just try to imagine what it would be like to be in that upper room. It was probably, by the way, the same room in which the disciples had gathered for the Lord's Supper. Tradition said it might have been the home of the mother of John Mark, Mark the evangelist, the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. His mother had a home in Jerusalem, and they might have met in that same upper room. But notice when Jesus comes, there's no rebuke. There's no shaking of his finger in accusing them. Instead, Jesus just extends them peace, shows them his hands and his side. It says, "Just as the Father sent me into the world, I'm now sending you, and I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to do what you need to do after I'm back in heaven." Jesus says that if you forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. If you do not forgive, they'll be withheld. All that, Jesus says, the short time he's with them. It's an amazing reunion. Think about what it would be like if you were one of those disciples. What would you have been feeling in that moment? In our family, we have something called a laugh cry. It's when you're laughing so hard, your tears flow from your eyes. You're so joyful that you end up dropping tears. I have a feeling that's what happened there. What the gospel writers want us to know is that just as Jesus came back to life, he also came back to life for those he loved. Again, the resurrection is set into the context of relationships. And so he has a conversation with Mary in the garden. And so he has that amazing conversation with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And so we'll see more appearances of Jesus unfold. We'll see him with Peter. We'll see him having breakfast on the beach with these same disciples. All these post-resurrection appearances are not just to provide eyewitnesses, which they do. Over 500 saw Jesus alive after he rose from the dead, after he was crucified. It was that, but much more. Jesus came back from the dead for those he loved. And on this Sunday, we'd miss it if we don't recognize that he keeps on doing that. He keeps coming back. You come to church on a Sunday morning and Jesus shows up. He's here right now. I know you can't see him, but blessed are those who believe, even though they can't see. You know he's here. And there are some times in our hearts where if we just listen with our hearts, you can hear the rustle of his robe. Sometimes you can expect Jesus to walk up that center aisle and stand up in front of us. And I know what would happen if he did that. We'd all hit our knees, including me. And I'd step aside and say, "Jesus, go ahead, teach." Because he's here right now. He promised wherever two or three gather in my name, I'll be there in their midst. And he does it over and over again. He keeps coming back for this group of Christians, but for groups of Christians all over the world. He just keeps on coming. That's who Jesus is. That's what he's about. He comes back again. The ultimate comeback. the one who promises to come, and he does again and again. But there's more. Jesus doesn't just come for groups wherever two or three are gathered. He comes for individuals. And so Thomas misses out on the visit of Jesus. But 8 days later, Jesus is back. He comes back again. This time not for all the disciples, but for one disciple, Thomas. It's like a special trip. It's like Jesus the Good Shepherd coming back, coming after one lost sheep. There's the many and there's the one. You know, I used to teach homiletics or preaching at the seminary in St. Louis. And one of the principles we teach, I shouldn't tell you too many of our secrets, but one of them is that you always have to be aware of the many and the one, so that when you preach with a broad enough stroke that you touch everybody that's listening to you. But at the same time, you want it to be personal. You want each person that listens to hear good news for their own life. That's a real challenge. That's why you'll find pastors sometimes doing what I'm doing right now, looking some of you right in the eye. We have to be careful with that because we're saying something that's very indicting. You don't want to be looking directly at one person. But what we try to do is catch the many and the one. And that's what Jesus does in this text. He catches the disciples, but he comes back for one, for Thomas. Thomas had missed Jesus' visit. The news he had heard was too good to be true. So he asks only what the other disciples had already experienced. I want to see his wounds. I want to see his scars. He went a little farther. He wanted to touch them. Caravaggio, the artist, has a wonderful depiction of Thomas tracing the wound of Jesus in the side. Jesus came back that Monday night for one person. Thomas was important enough for Jesus to come back. And it was his wounds, the scars, that brought Thomas to his knees. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." One of the books that I enjoyed reading just recently is written by Jerry Cook. It has a great title, "Some Things I've Learned Since I Knew It All." And in this book, Jerry shares how he went through heart bypass surgery and then was called by someone who was terrified by the fact that this person was going to have the very same surgery, and he asked if he could come and see him. So this person came to see Jerry, and the person said, "I'd like to see your scars." So Jerry took off his shirt and showed him that long vertical scar that happens with opening the chest for bypass surgery. And the man gently traced his finger along that violet scar that ran down Jerry's chest. And the man went on to say, "The doctor says the most painful part of the operation may be the surgery on my legs. They're going to take a vein from my leg, from my calf, to use in the heart bypass." "Can I see your legs?" the man asked. Well, Jerry was a little hesitant, but he stood up and rolled his pants legs up. The man got down on his knees, and without shame, he put his hands on Jerry's legs, touching the scars with his finger. When he rose to his feet, there were tears in his eyes. And the man simply said, "Thank you. Now I can go through the surgery. Now I have hope." That is exactly what Thomas felt as he ran his finger across the scars of Jesus. "Now I have hope because I have faith." Jesus' scars and wounds brought Thomas the hope and confidence he needed. And tradition says he went on to become a missionary in India and was martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ. Our Christian faith has never been a matter of just being brought along by the church. It's never just a matter of going through the hoops that the church sets up for us as we grow in our relationship with Christ. It's always been a matter, even more deeply, of each one of us, each one of you, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that he's not just our Savior, but he's your Savior, one by one. I don't know if you ever heard of the phrase FOMO, the fear of missing out. You'll see it sometimes on social media. Somebody's afraid they're going to miss a party or something like that. I think it's possible that there could be somebody here this morning who has the fear of missing out where Jesus is concerned. Maybe you're wondering, do I really believe the way Thomas did? Can I really put my faith in this story and in the person of Jesus Christ? If that's you, if you're wondering about, do I have enough faith to be saved? Then I want you to hear the great good news today that Jesus comes back just for you. For you. And he simply asks you to hit your knees and believe and say, my Lord and my God. And you're in. You're in. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, speak to all of us, but speak to each of us. The way you spoke to Thomas, and Lord Christ, give us your peace. Amen.